Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you as we have this pioneering heart to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
I'd like to pray before we get into God's word, and I'm really encouraged today. I really believe God's going to speak to us through his word, and I really just want to pray first because I know that there's impartation that God wants to take place today. Father, we just thank you for your word, and just thank you that, Lord, as we take line upon line and we try and work out what you are saying to us, that Holy Spirit, today, that you would open up our minds and bring us to a place of full understanding and knowledge of who you are. Not that we can just hear the word, but that we can be doers of the word. So, Lord, we just ask for that today, that there be something of your power and your grace here today, Lord, as we trust you to work so mightily in our midst here today. For us here in this hall, for those in their sitting rooms, wherever they find themselves, as they hear the word of God, may there be a transformation, may there be a renewal, and may more of Christ be seen now in Jesus' name. Amen. I continue with a letter to the church at Philippi with the title, God at Work in You. And the text that we're going to be using, if you want to get your Bibles out, we're going to be dealing with a text, a very short text, but a very profound text. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. I read from the English Standard Version. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, that sounds like a lot, but we're going to unpack that. But you know, very important here that the Lord has been speaking to us through the book of Philippians, and we've got to this portion now, and I'm just trust that you reading the book of Philippians. I think we're not just trying to deal with just portions. I'm asking you just on a regular basis, I know you've got your quiet times and you've got your daily devotions and your things you're reading, but turn to the book of Philippians and see what God is actually saying to us, because I really believe the book of Philippians is trying to bring us to a place that we can experience God's joy in the circumstances that we find ourselves. I don't know if you've been following the news, and we can't be so insular, just be watching what's happening here in South Africa, even though we're going through stuff and we're praying and we believe in God. And I want to say, God's put the nations on our hearts. And I don't know, I've been watching the news and what's happening in Afghanistan, and I tell you, it's impacted me, just what's actually happening there, because where men have gone in there to try and do good, and all of a sudden, evil is coming to come back, and what is happening, and people have been beheaded and suffer people is happening. It's absolutely awful if you go and read the news reports. So I'm asking you, what can we do? We can pray and we can trust, even though most of the folk that want to get out are not going to get out, but God can still work at the end, protect them in that place. God is still in control, even in a situation when there's evil. You know, I don't know if you know the story of Corrie ten Boom, as she was helping the Jews in the Second World War, and she was caught and was put into a concentration camp. But in that darkness, that absolute darkness of a concentration camp, God was still alive and working in their midst. And people came to know the Lord in that utter despair that took place. And there was a testimony that God set her free, and she had a testimony, and she became a champ for the Lord and witness for the Lord right through the rest of her life. So there's always hope. But I'm asking you, please, let's not be insular just thinking about South Africa. Let's see a world that we live in, and let's be praying for what's happening in the world too. Let's get on our knees and trust God for that. So here we get to a place where we've gone through the beginning of Philippians chapter 2, where we see a model of Christ, his humility, his obedience, his submission, and becoming a servant, and how to live by the Spirit of God. And you see, I really believe God bringing us to a place now, showing us the model of Christ, of his love and his humility, and how he works for the better of the interests of others, and bringing us to a place where we can start to live that life. You know, the things that we are facing in life, we've got to destroy selfishness and human love. And God wants us to be more like Christ, and because he is the fullness of love, and that love lives within inside of us, and that breaks us and opens us. Many years ago, I had an opportunity to go and travel, and I did a Kentucky trip through America from the East Coast right across to the West Coast, and an opportunity to go and visit some friends of ours that knew someone in San Francisco. And he was an elderly man, and his name was Mr. Jensen. And he was a civil engineer, and he loved the Lord, and he'd been widowed, and he was living his life. And wherever he had been around the world, he had a camera, and he was always taking photos. And I thought, when you look at the photos and you go and see what was in those photos, he never took one photo of a landscape. He never took one photo of a beautiful car or a flower. It was, if there wasn't a person in the photo, he never took it. Because he made it up in his heart, in his mind, is that's about people. And he took a photo, and you had to be a person in the photo. Now, today, with the selfies, that everyone's taking the selfies, which is sometimes also wrong. But I want to just say, this heart that was in Jesus, considering the interests of others, you are not to live for yourself. You are to live for others. And this is the model of Christ that he has for us. So when you're taking photos, take some landscapes, but also look for the people and see the people in your lives. See the people that God's placed you in, your families, within this church, the workplace that you find yourself. God's put those people in your lives. See that you're actually ministering to them and allowing God to do the wonderful work. So I've got a few points. I've got 3 points that I'd like to cover today. So firstly, the Christian has to take responsibility for his life. Secondly, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And thirdly, God who works in you. So verse 12, from the first point, the Christian has to take responsibility for his life. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So here we see, when we get to this scripture here, you know, a lot of the times we get to a place where I think our theology is sometimes wrong about God. There are some people that think, well, I believe in God, and you know that old adage that said, let go and let God? You know, can I say to you, that is a false adage, it's not correct, because it's not let go and let God. Because we have to be involved. God never made us robots. He brought us to a place to work in partnership with him. We've got to be in a place that we're working together with him. So yes, we need to surrender all to everything. But actually, there's an aspect where God comes to live inside of us. He motivates us. And I'll get into the depth of that and how that actually works out, that we can actually do what God's called us to do. And the scripture is very clear, is that we've got to run the race to win. We've got to run the course of our life. We've got to fight the good fight of faith and hold on to eternal life, which God has called us. So there's something, even though we don't work out our salvation for ourselves to get into heaven, but we've got to work to do what God's called us to do. See, with faith actually shows us your works. When I was at Varsity, the faith movement was really starting, and Rhema was very big, and faith was being taught. And we had these young students. Remember, they were young law students, and they came from very privileged homes. And they were sitting there, and they were sitting in the SRC, there, in the canteen there, and they're eating chips and drinking coffee all the time. But I said, aren't you going to go and study? By faith I've passed. By faith I've passed. Let me tell you, by faith they failed. Because you've got to work. Now, those varsity students amongst us know that, is that if you don't put the hours in and you don't learn and you don't apply yourself, you don't win. It's the same with the Christian life. We've received life, but we've got to work this life out. So there's a responsibility you have in life. And I'm telling you now, as you grow up, and that's why being a child is so wonderful, because there's a sense of no responsibility. But when you become an adult, there's some responsibility, isn't there? You've got a budget to work out. You've got to eat. You've got to do all these things. Got a clean house, Yeah, you got to brush your teeth. There's a responsibility to do, but there's a responsibility to live also the Christian life, to live as Christ has given us example. So that's why the first word says, therefore, look what Jesus has done and shown us the way. Jesus didn't come to the earth and say, Father, do what you want to do. He became an example to us and lived this life. And that's where we've been called to follow his example. And then it says, Paul and his relationship with this wonderful church in Philippi. It was the only church he didn't write to when he was looking for error. He was actually bringing encouragement, and he calls them his beloved. He had an intimate relationship with them. They weren't perfect. The Philippian church was not perfect. If you go and read in Philippians chapter 4, the women were fighting. Uda and Sinta, they were fighting. And he says, stop fighting, work out your differences. There will be conflict in your family. There will be conflict in the church. But work it out. Love one another. Forgive one another. That restoration can come. You know, God's love is so great. But God's love is not a magic wand. And it all sorted out. It doesn't happen like that. Sin comes into relationships. Brokenness comes into relationships. And what is the first thing we do? We forgive. Because Jesus taught us to forgive. And when we forgive, there's a power of sin is broken in those relationships. And then we, in our hearts, as we humble our hearts, we allow God's mercy and grace to work in those situations. Because grace is his power to bring restoration. And there's restoration. Now, anything that's broken in a relationship can be restored. I want to tell you, there's nothing that cannot be restored. Reconciliation can be worked out. And this is what Paul was bringing to this Philippian church. We can bring restoration to relationships. And I want to say God wants it. And maybe you find in yourself this morning in broken relationships. God wants to restore. But you know what? You got to get up and actually go and, if you're wrong, go and ask for forgiveness. And even if you're not wrong, go and sort it out that forgiveness is worked out. Because then healing comes. You know, there's nothing like, especially in a marriage, when you're at odds with your wife or your spouse, and then you haven't sorted the issue out, and you walk down the corridor, and that one that way, and you don't even talk to one another. That's not God's plan. Forgiveness is a key aspect of any relationship. How many times have I asked you to forgive me, Nikki? Many. How many times have I forgiven Nikki? Always. No relationship is perfect, but you know, it brings a bond of love and a bond of peace. And that's what Paul was trying to say out of his relationship with his children, his children of faith. There is time for healing. And you see, also in this relationship of love one another, I want to just say is, give space for failure, because no one is perfect. Some will fail you and you'll make errors. And you know, this idealism and perfectionism that the world teaches us is not a truth. God allows us to fail, and we need to allow one another to fail, long as there's restoration out of that thing. This church will never be perfect. You will never be perfect, and God will allow you to fail. But long as you learn the lessons from your failure. You know, I went through school and never failed, but when I got to university, I failed. It was the biggest shock of my life. Because you'd never been taught this thing. But failure is a reality in life. And when God picks you up out of that and restores you, God always works for the good. And I'm telling you, when you humble yourself in that situation, there's freedom and that liberty comes. And then Paul gets into the point, he says, so you have always obeyed. And this word obey is very a key thing to this Christian life that we live, that we need to live in a pattern of obedience to God and to his word. And obedience is something that the world lacks. What we see in the world today, we see rebellion. And, you know, there are many rebels out there at the moment. You know, what I mean by rebellious, they're not obeying God and obeying his ways. And, you know, maturity is something that's got to come to all of us. Now, children, a two-year-old, they say the terrible twos, don't they? And we see a two-year-old running around and he's all over the place, or she's all over the place and rebellious, doesn't it? Because she's still a child and has to be taught obedience. Can I tell you, a lot of the church is still like that, acting like two-year-olds, rebellious. God doesn't want that. He wants us to come to maturity, that we obey. Why? We obey. We work out God's ways in doing that. And the understanding of the Greek behind that, it comes from two aspects of the word hupakeo, and okeo comes from the words acoustics, that you've heard, and that's under. So as you've heard the word, you obey. So God speaks to us, and when he speaks to us, we must obey. We're not robots again, we obey. So this is important. So Paul commending them, he says, as you've always obeyed. Now their obedience is to God and his word. And I wanted to say, that's why we read the scriptures, not just to read them to get information, but we read the scriptures. Why? So we can obey them. And God wants obedience. And Jesus even taught that going forward. And then, what are we obeying? So we can work out. So I want to say there's something that we've got to understand, the understanding of salvation and sanctification. When we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive eternal life, but we also receive this package called salvation. That God has saved us, that he's a savior. And a savior gives us salvation. And that's the package that God gives us. But now, salvation has three dimensions to it. It's past, present, and future. So when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and we allow him to come and be Lord of our lives and we follow him as the Lord God Almighty, we have been saved. There's a finished work that takes place. There's a transaction, not just on the cross, but transaction that takes place in your life. There's a transference of what God has completed, has brought into you, the fullness of Christ. God comes to live inside of you. So you, what is it? You've been saved. It's a past event because you've believed. You've come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You've come out of death to life. You've come out of sin to righteousness. You're no longer a child of the devil. You're a child of God. You've been made new creation. So that God has done you. So a lot of people are still grappling with those things, but it's been done for you. You don't have to grapple. You just need to know that thing and believe it. And then secondly, presently, we have been saved right now. So there's a continual outworking of the life of Christ. So there's continual outworking of sin. You know, sin doesn't stop once you become a Christian. You've been cleansed and forgiven of all your sins. But as you still have a choice in life. God hasn't taken your choice away, and you have the ability still to sin. Do you realize that? Every one of us. And invariably, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do murder and that. But it's the thoughts and it's the words we say. And we can still do those things. And it's not out of love. Invariably, there's something of sin taking place. So that's, we need forgiveness. And that's why we come before the Lord and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So this is the outworking of salvation. It's the outworking of bringing us to maturity that God's working us. And then thirdly, that we will be saved. This is the future. We will receive the fullness of the redemptive work. Our bodies will be redeemed, will become immortal, and we'll see the Lord himself. So there's three phases. So we're not working out our salvation. We receive salvation because we believed upon the Lord, and he works that in our lives. So that's a very important. But then this outworking of receiving our salvation, there's an outworking of sanctification. And that sanctification is bring us to a place that we can start to see God's holiness and God's righteousness and his fruitfulness and spiritual progress take place in our lives. So this is what God wants us to grow into. We cannot just stay in the same position. If you're the same position last year as today in your spiritual walk, I wanted to say you need to evaluate your life again. I'm not saying that you haven't gone through difficulties. We've all gone through difficulties and we're facing different things. But there should be progress in your life. You know, when you go to school, you start at grade 1 and intend to get to grade 12. But if you're still in grade 1 after 12 years, there is a problem. There's a problem. And I'm not fun of ever. His best year in life with 12 years in grade 1. Not the fun of ever's here at all. But the reality, there needs to be progress in our lives. And God wants to see, that's the sanctification, that we're outworking of our salvation. You see, God wants to do it in us and through us in our partnership and in union with him. And then we need to take responsibility of this Christian life, this package that we received inside of us. And the analogy that I have for us is that as we've got to grow in Christ, there's something of this wonder of God inside of us that we have to mine. Now, I don't know if you've ever been down a mine and you've seen the gold reef that is there. It's a massive job to get it out. You know, I don't know much about mining, but I know the gold here on the reef is in kimberlite. Am I right? it's in the reef that it's there, and it's a thin, narrow reef that actually runs, and you've got to get it out there, and it's got to be dug out, and the reef goes all over the place, and they've got to dig it out, and they've got to extract it, and then they've got to get it to the surface, and they've got to grind it, and they've got to put chemicals with it, and when they get it, then they've got to purify it, and the gold comes out. It's the same as the reality of what Christ has given you. You have received all the treasures of heaven, every spiritual blessing, Ephesians tells us, you have received. It's within you. But you, in the outworking of your life, have to dig it out. You've got to dig it out, and you've got to search. And the searching comes through the scriptures as you renew your mind, but you find out what's inside of you. And this is the image of Christ. And I'm telling you, it's a journey that all of us are on, that the reality of what God is inside of us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, as we mine this out, we start to see this Christian life to flow out, the image of Christ. And that's your responsibility and my responsibility, to mine with the Lord, to see an expression of that. That's why we teach you faith, because the Word reveals the truth to you. And then you see what it is inside of you, and you start to speak it, and you start to believe it, and it becomes a reality. In a sense, it's like a nuclear power station that's within you, which's been given to you. But if it's the switch is not put on, the power doesn't come out. And so often is that we can be dormant in understanding of who we are in Christ. This is where the renewing of our mind. So this is a responsibility that we have before God to work this thing out. That's why it says, yeah, work out your own salvation. We're not trying to justify ourselves. It's a gift that's given by God. But God wants us to mind this and take responsibility for what's inside of us to become something of expression of Him in our lives. Now, that's tough. That just doesn't come in easy. It's got to be a purpose of your life. We just don't live life and we go to work and we come home and we eat and we do the natural things of life. This aspect of your spiritual working takes effort. And I'm not saying go to a Bible college or anything like that. It's actually working together with God the Holy Spirit as He reveals Christ to you and He reveals His Word to you. It takes effort to do this. If you want to mature in the Christian life, it takes effort. This is why we call disciples. We've got to be disciplined in our lifestyles. Those that have undisciplined lifestyles will be shallow. But those that are dig deep into the things of God and work together with God, it's not works, but it's digging deep with God, you will find this evidence of who Christ is. And I want to just tell you, it's an incredible, incredible journey as you've been dealing. You know, I've been walking with the Lord over 40 years now, and still I feel at times I don't know the Lord, because in the incredible awesomeness and magnificence of who He is and an outworking of those things. And yes, there's a journey of understanding who you really are, spirit, soul, and body, and trying to work out the spiritual dimension that impacts the soul and impacts the body, not the other way around. The world will teach you. Sort your body out. It will tell you. Get to the gym. Get strong, get fit, get all those things right, eat right, all those things, good stuff. But I'm telling you, to grow in godliness, you've got to sort the Spirit out. You've got to get the Word out. You've got to get Christ and understand Christ in you. Come to this maturity. This is outworking your salvation and coming to the fullness of that. Because when they can see Christ in you, there's something of the wonder of that. It's not just head knowledge. It's something of the wonder of Christ in you. So you have to take responsibility for that. Am I being heard? Are you hearing what God is actually saying to us today? I've been challenged here as I'm talking to you. Secondly, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's the second part of that. Work out your own salvation. I just want to say to you, it's an incredible privilege to be a pastor and for us as elders to lead you and to guide you. And God places churches, He puts leadership in the church. And He puts elders in there. Why? To shepherd you as the under-shepherds. But never, ever, ever was there a place that I take the responsibility of God away from you to see me as your source. He must always be the source. We are here just to guide and direct. We are never in the place to take God's place of being that one that you trust in and allow Him to bring instruction to your life. I want to just say it's good to have a pastor in your life. it's good to be part of the family of God because there's protection in the thing, but we're still ultimately under the authority of God Almighty, and as He leads us and as He guides us. And I want to encourage you is that He's the one that wants to work out your salvation with you. He wants to teach you about Christ. And that's the journey that you all on, we all on, is to learn Christ and to understand the fullness of who He is in our lives. So then work your own salvation out. Secondly, out of that is with fear and trembling. As I said earlier, there is space to fail and to be forgiven and to be loved. But as we work out our own salvation with this fear and trembling, the Greek words goes back to fear being the phobia, and the trembling is the trauma. The fear is, and I really believe we have a problem in the world today, is men do not fear God. They actually fear man. They're more concerned what man thinks of them and what man wants of them. Can you hear my heart in this thing? And what's happening in the world, in the whole gender issue, all the Black Lives Matter issues, is that the world is bowing down to that thing and forgetting God in this process. We must honor and respect one another. We must. We mustn't condone the sin. We must love people. But let me tell you, we better make sure we fear God. Because when we start to offend God, we're in trouble. We're absolutely in trouble. And people don't have a concern for that anymore. And I want to just say, that holy fear has got to come back, that awe and recognition that we can offend God. When our weaknesses become so strong that they're offensive to Him, that we allow temptation to overcome us, that's when we lost the fear of God. And I'm not saying live scared, but there's a reverence and there's an awe that needs to take place. This is how we work out our salvation. There's something of the fear of the Lord. It says it's the beginning of wisdom when we fear the Lord. And when we tremble at His word, there's a shaking when we come before. You know, we read in the Old Testament that they stood up and there was such a reverence. They stood up when they read the word of God. We've lost something of that. You know, we've become the internet and everything. We've become complacent. We've forgotten, in a sense, because reverence is a choice. It's not something that's just going to come and God's not going to appear, wah, almighty, now fear me. It's a choice to recognize that He's God Almighty. And when we fear Him and we understand who He is, something transpires in our lives. There's an honoring, there's a respect. God is not our mate. He's our friend, but He's not our mate. And we can't just be blasé with Him. We've got to be in a place that we've got to be this reverence. When we call upon Him, He calls us to call Him Father. But it's not, hey, mate. It's Father. There's a respect. He's Father God, and we love Him for who He is. So this outworking of our salvation, it starts with that foundation of fear and trembling. Why? Because we see the greatest problem in the world is sin. It's not AIDS. It's not COVID. It's not corruption. It's sin. Jesus never came to the earth to deal with anything else but sin. And sin was the thing. When He dealt with sin, that's why we could be set free. Why do we call upon the name of the Lord? Why do we believe upon Him? Because He takes us out of darkness into light, but He deals with the issue of sin, because sin keeps us in death for eternity. And I'm telling you now, we may not comprehend that today, but one day when you get to heaven and you see how God has paid the price for you and you've been redeemed and you belong to Him forever and ever, you're going to rejoice, because you're going to see what you have. And you don't realize what you've got now. So sin is a major problem, because even in our lives, I can sin and God will forgive me. He's a gracious and He's a merciful God. He will forgive me. He will forgive you, but do not chastise the Lord too much that you just keep pushing the boundaries, because how long will you test the patience of God? We've got to live with this reverence in all that, yes, we sin, but we do not want to sin. But when we do sin, we can be forgiven. But we get to the place immediately when we do sin, Father, forgive me. Not, I've just done something wrong again, and get on with life. Because you know what that brings? Number one, it brings hardening to you, and it will expose you eventually to the eventually that God will chastise you. You know, and God's not a respecter of persons. Not a respecter of persons. He loves you. But if sin gets in the way, he will expose you. And you've seen those televangelists that got up to that sordid lives and were having lives like it. Even Jimmy Swaggart. I'm sad to say these things. God exposed him. God doesn't mess around with sin. Don't mess around with sin. That's why we must have fear, holy fear of sin and understanding its seriousness. So we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And then thirdly, God who works in you, and we read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And this is an incredible, incredible truth. God who works in you. That's why you need to know that God is in you. Christ is in you. He's not far away, but he's, and not only is he resident in you and comes to dwell in your heart, he's working. God is not, he's not lazy. He's working. He's working with you. He's working with you. He's training you. He's the coach. He's the one as Lord, and he's here. He's trying to teach you life, and he's trying to expose you to understanding of his ways, and he wants you to lean upon him. He is working. Do you rely on him within you? Turn to the Christ within you. He's not working on you and for you. He's working in you to teach you God's ways and for his purposes and his plans to be filled in your life. You see, this is like a paradox. And I'll turn to Galatians 2, verse 20. It's a paradox of you and God. Galatians 2, 20 says, for I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So here this paradox is that Christ, you died with Christ, but yeah, now Christ lives in me. But then secondly, if I died, but Christ lives in me, but then secondly it says, now I live in the flesh, but I live by faith in the Son of God. Yes, you died, but you became alive, but God came to live inside of you. And this holy relationship has to be worked out. It's all of me and it's all of him. This partnership with Almighty God, working out life together. God's not leaving you nor forsaking you, but he wants you to work together with him to bring good pleasure and pleasing to him. And I'm telling you now, this is an incredible thing when you work out your salvation with God. I remember as an early Christian, I came to know the Lord, and you know, you lack knowledge and you lack understanding of the Lord. And I really, a friend of mine came and said, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Teach you Christ. Now, it's great to go to the internet, and there's some wonderful truths. And I want to say it's incredible to go to the internet, and there's some incredible revelation there. But there's nothing like the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures. Where he's teaching you. Yes, he can use books, and it's not wrong to have. I've got a library. Ask Nikki and I, we've got a problem. I've got too many books. But it's amazing when you take the Word of God and just the Holy Spirit and allow him to reveal Christ to you and teach you to live in Christ. Wow, wow, wow. You have a teacher that is the teacher. And he dwells within you, with Christ in you, and he's teaching you, and he wants to renew your mind and bring you to an expression of working out his will in your life. And it says there, to will and to work. This is a continuing thing, is that our God is incredible. He doesn't leave you alone. He knows you, how he created you. He's put a will in your soul, but he brings you to a place where he actually puts that thought, he puts that unction in your heart, that you know what you've got to do, and when you obey him, you go and do it. Isn't that incredible? I just think of Norman here. Norman and Pat, all those years ago, God put in their heart to go and start, we call it the project in Mapai. And Norman heard God, and he went and he did it. And the vision and the provision worked out together, and the project is still standing there. It was for a season, and God's working it for a good. But Norman heard God. That will came from God, and then the working came out. And wasn't that a joy in obeying God? In all of your lives too, there's things to do. It's not just the secular, it's the things of God. It's loving others, it's reaching out. And it might be disappointing at times, but I want to just say is there's something that God causes us to will and to work for his good pleasure. You know, this plant of this church was never in my heart. It was never a desire in my heart. But God put it in my heart to will and to desire. And this is the fruit of what we see here today. Every one of you, we rejoice in what God has done here. We have a destiny together and a fulfillment of doing that. So it's incredible. Work together with God. God's got a plan for your life, a good plan for your life, and He will for you. Don't sit back and fold your arms and expect God to do it for you. He's going to work with you. And that's where sometimes you need to take time to go and seek the Lord and find out what His will is for you. I just look at my mother here, and not to embarrass her, retired and has written 10 books on devotions. God put that desire in your heart, Mom. And that's incredible. You've left a legacy already to all of us. What's happened? What is God doing through you? Who are you impacting? Who are you touching? It might be touching your grandchildren. It might be whatever means. I don't know. It might be in your workplace. It might be something that we've got to reach out. We had the Business Connect on Friday morning. You need to hear that. The impact that we need to have upon the world, not just spiritually, but from social, from intellectually. There's got to be an aspect of touching our world. And we are the changes. And God wants to use us to change the world. Christians have changed the world. Where have the major universities in the world come from? Christians. Harvard, Cambridge, Oxford, Princeton, Yale. These top universities were founded by Christians to teach people the Word of God. And out of that, they've become the most important institutions in the world, training people in education. And I want to encourage you, God still wants to do something in your life. We live under COVID. We live in a difficult world at this point in time. But that's not going to stop God doing what He wants to do in your life. Your life is not over. Do something that God's called you. It might be writing a book. I don't know. It might be feeding the poor. Get up. Don't wait for the pastor to initiate it. Let God initiate it in you. You know, in the workplace, it's good to follow. But give me someone that's got initiative. And they run with that initiative. And God's got initiative. Run with Him and give Him His desire. We're not program-orientated, but let's be doing something. And let's be doing it for God in that. Whether it's worship, whether it's teaching the children, whatever, wherever God wants you, He's going to cause you to will and to work according to His good pleasure. So we get to this point as we need to look at our lives, and this is where I want to just leave off at this time. That's great to hear the scripture. It's great to hear this. But what is the reality of that scripture in your life? And I just want to read that scripture again to us. Therefore, as my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. I was trained as an accountant and as an auditor. And an auditor comes and assesses what you've done. And I want to tell you, if you're leading your life, you need to measure what you've done. You can't just let your life just be. You need to be measuring, is there an efficacy? Have you fulfilled what God has called you to do? So there needs to be a measure. And I want to just say, can I just encourage you what I believe? God has given us a vision for this church, but we need to give what God has given us. We've received Christ. Now we need to give Christ. And we need to be out there loving one another. We need to be laying hands on the sick. We need to be casting out the devils. We need to be doing what God is in this partnership that we have with Him. We need to change a world because God is in us and with us. Willing for us to go and do. We are not here just to breathe and to exist. We are here changing. If that was the thing, God would take us home today. But we are here to be changers of the environment and the world that we live in because God is within us. And how are we going to change the world? With Christ, with His love. We have the healing power of God. We have His authority, and we can do that. It's not the man of the hour that's going to do that. It's you and I that's going to do that. So where your influence is, Will you influence people with Christ? And will you allow him to do his will through you? And I'm telling you now, you can do it. I want to encourage you. You can do it. You can change yourself, but you can change others by influence. Again, I don't want to embarrass my wife, but last week I encouraged her, that wonderful telephone that you have. You might be under COVID and you might be under lockdown, but pick up that phone and phone someone. Not WhatsApp them, phone them. And you'll be surprised. The Holy Spirit will put people on your heart and your mind and phone them, and you'll be absolutely surprised how you will encourage people and your impact just through that simple act of loving others through a telephone. Amen. There's so much more to do that. I love to pray with you because I really believe this is an important thing, understanding Christ in you, God in you, working out his will and his purpose in your life. Let's stand and let's just give thanks to our God. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never heard the gospel and you've never believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and those online, and you've heard this about a God working inside of you, but if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not inside of you. You need to believe upon him. And if that's you today and you would like to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to humble yourself and believe upon him and ask him to come and be your Lord and Savior. And if that's you today, whether here this morning or whether you're online there and you'd like to make a commitment to Jesus and to follow him and to work with him and to live in a vital living partnership with him, he wants to do that work in you. So if that's you today, will you say after me, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Come and live in me and find your way in me. And may I work together with you as I humble myself before you and allow you to be my Lord and my Savior. May you teach me to live in you and to fulfill your plans and your purposes now in Jesus' name. And then, Father, as I just commit every one of us to you, we want to thank you for this incredible privilege that you dwell within us and you want to work with us and to bring good pleasure to you, Lord, and glory to your name. I really just do trust you, Lord, that as we take this word seriously and hear what you are saying, that every one of us will be transformed in our thinking and our understanding. Why, Lord? That we can do what you called us to do. So may our intimacy with you grow deeper and further. May we not just be hearers of the word of God, but may we be doers of the word of God now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all God's people said, God bless you all. Have a great and wonderful day. Stay warm. And if you do need prayer, we are here afterwards. We'd love to pray with you. If you need needs met, God bless you all. Have a great and wonderful day. Amen.
Thank you. If anyone wants to come to discipleship, just let us know through the week so we know where to hold it. I need to know if there's going to be 2 people, 10 people, or 50 people. Thanks. Thank you.